Okay. So I want to speak about freedom. And just in the context of the Parsha, the Parsha is called Acherei Mois. The first portion of the double portion speaks about that which transpired after the passing of two of Aharon's children. And why did Aaron's children pass away? So we're going to go based on the classic insight from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh that speaks in very lofty terms to obviously something that he was familiar with. And that is a real spiritual experience, a real escape of this world. A good escape. And when they went into the Beis HaMikdash and they saw the option of going into the Holy of Holies, and they knew that in there they're going to have the ultimate freedom, they went down that path even knowing that they might not want to come back, which might be someone's experience when they first experience the anguish of their reality, and when they see a different option. You can even call this a simple vacation. And you go there, and many a time you don't want to come back. That happened to the extreme. It happened to such an extreme that they died, because they didn't go to a physical place, they went to a spiritual place. And the choice of remaining there is al hacheshbon of not coming back over here. That's the baseline story. And I think this is a very universal story where everyone sooner or later realizes some of their life is a life that constrains them. And when we're younger, we always think it's the other person or the setting. And then when we get older, it gets much worse, because we realize that it's not the other person, it's not the other setting, it's within me. So how do you escape that? And if you could escape it, are we learning from the Parsha that one should not escape that? Like, what's the message? They should not have gone there? So are we like condemned forever to live in the Mitzrayim that God puts us in? What would be the right understanding of the yearning of becoming free, of not going down a certain type of path, but at the same time, not giving up the pursuit of freedom, but finding freedom the right way. So to dive into it, I want to share a couple of Hasidic words and bring it down to a very, very down-to-earth application. We understand from the writings of the Arizal that all of the creation, when God began this project, God made creation 1.0. Whatever God did destroyed itself. It did not function. It malfunctioned. It imploded. And then God took the broken pieces of the misfunction somehow and made what we have. These are the classic words that many of us heard, that there is the world of Tohu, the world of chaos, and then there is the world of Tikkun. The world of Tikkun means the rectified world. The world of Tohu is where God expressed himself. Again, words. And there were many lights. It was very enlightened. It was very power. The power was overwhelming. The vessels were too little for the lights. So the lights overwhelmed the vessels. The vessels broke down. It was a breakdown. And what did God do? God did it again. Second time around, the lights were diminished, less light. The vessels were healthier, stronger. And what God did not break down. But what's key is that it's not like what God did first time around. You know, you did something, it didn't work, you moved on to something else. It wasn't that. That God took the broken parts, these are the words, the broken parts fell all the way down into this world, but the broken parts fell in what part of this world? The broken parts are covered over by klipa. That means in the wrongs of this world, in that which is wrong in this world, in it, you're going to find the lights of Toyu. And then people say that when they're going to sin, they're not looking for the sin. They're looking for God. They're looking for the lights of Toyu. But it's only found in the lowly part of this world. And what would that mean? How do we apply that? How do we make this real? And one other Toyu concept, and then I want to go into a topic. And that is that when God goes from God to here, when you go from an expansive reality into a constricted reality, you have to tzimtzum yourself. And we heard this word. Really, there are two types of tzimtzum. There is tzimtzum, as an example, that the sunlight might be too bright. So what you do is, but you want light, you don't want dark. Is that you build a wall, which is what most people have in their homes, and it's a window. So there's enough area for light to come in, but you're not sitting in the sunlight. That's one example of tzimtzum. You were metzamtzim the sunlight. The light in the window is the same light outdoors. You didn't change the light. Maybe quantitatively it's less, but it's the same light. That's one type of tzimtzum. You diminish, but you don't change the what was. Most of our bank accounts, at some point there was a lot, then there is a little. It's the same dollar, just a lower number, tzimtzum. And then Kabbalah gives a different metaphor for a tzimtzum. Actually, specifically, it's called a parsa. The word parsa means a screen. I know that we learn a lot of Chabad Chassidus, and the most commonly used known word is tzimtzum. That there's tzimtzum. God can make from a lot of little. We contract. You diminish. There is another word called parsa, which means the same. The word parsa means a screen. And the example that Kabbalah gives for a screen, first of all, in my example of the sunlight, is that not only do you have a wall and you have a little window, so you diminish the amount of light, but you make a red window or a blue window or a green window. That means that the light that comes in, not only is it less, but when you were outdoors, it had one feeling, sunlight. And now it became a red light. Now it became a blue light. So even the light, aside of the fact that it's less, it's changed. Something changed. There was a great mashal that Kabbalah gives for a change. Tzimtzum, parsa. Step number one, step number two. Step number one, tzimtzum would mean you have a thought, you have a feeling, and you are articulate, and you word it. Tzimtzum. Even though many people feel, no, I expressed myself fully. Superficially, you did. On a deep level, what you felt is impossible to put into words. Sometimes people even say that. If someone is in touch to the depth of their feeling, even greater, even harder, to the depth of your understanding, if you were to have such a moment, that depth can never be put into words. It's impossible. It wasn't meant for that. Some of that is lost, sunlight, but you worded it. The person who listened, heard, they understood, they felt, but there's tzimtzum. That's tzimtzum. Parsa would mean, says the Arizal, that you have the feeling or the idea, and you put it into words. Words are made out of letters. Someone takes the words and the letters and they scramble it. That's a parsa. What does the recipient get when they get scrambled letters? Bahashgacha Pratis, there's a great game that many of people here played called Scramble, in which you're trying to go backwards. It's important to go backwards, but you have to know how we got here to be able to go backwards. So Scramble means that we have all of the letters are here, and you get your share of letters and go make something out of it. a big part of life is scramble. Scramble means is that the world presents itself to us in a way that there was a lot of greatness here. The reason why it might not feel that way, because it scrambled the wrong way. I don't have to change in the core, but I have to reorganize the whole story. I have to look at something that to me appears as bad, and I have to see how this, the right, if it's placed in the right place, becomes good. I believe that everyone's life, at the end of the life, if only we can look back and scramble it in a whole different way, it's going to be the best story that ever happened. Even the bad, even that which we experience as bad, it's bad the way it's presented. Now, there's a lot of wisdom needed to know how to break it down, how to reorganize it. And I began speaking Shabbos, but I'll go into it in more depth over here. And I hope what I'm saying now will not be misunderstood. So I'll begin by saying that the sages tell us that anger is tantamount to idol worship. Kol hakoyes, whoever gets angry, ki ilu oyved avodah zarah. And nothing that I'm saying now is going against it, even though it might sound that way. What I'm looking for is to find something amazing in anger. To find the toyu that's in the klipa's bad, but if we can just put this chazal on the side for a moment, and let me describe anger. This is something that it's an experience. Like, what is anger? Why do we have this instinct? When I say we, I don't mean you, the listener, but many people go to anger. Some people are always angry. That's not good. Some people are never angry. You can even argue, not good. We can debate about that, what the Rambam says, what the Rambam doesn't say. And then the ideal would be to be angry at the right time. But what would be the right time? Huh? Oh. So I want to say it like this. I have to explain properly what I'm saying. There is an experience of being powerless. And without avoida, without work, without going into powerless, the way all of us experience it, is the closest we get to death. I think when people are in a state, when they feel powerless, they attract death and illness. They are vulnerable to the worst of the worst. We're not meant to be in powerlessness the wrong way. I'm going to get into the right way, but that's already what Hashem has what to add. But the human experience of I am powerless or helpless, whichever way you want to look at it, is the worst place to be, and we have a duty not to be there. What makes a person feel powerless? At the root, I would say, maybe there's more deeper, fear or pain. But overwhelming fear. Not overwhelming fear. Fear is great. In other words, if I'm walking down the street and there's someone whom I should be afraid of, that I have what to do, that I can cross the street, halavai, I feel a little bit of fear. That fear is not helpless. That's just fear. That's safety. But when a person, that's why I want to say, when a person, either in the past or in their mind, present, future, is facing something that's so fearing, so fearful, that the person freezes.
Phobia.
Huh?
Like a phobia.
Like a phobia, or like a scenario where the monster is taka stronger than you. The hostages. There's nothing you can do. Same with pain. It's a different feeling. In other words, there is a certain amount of pain that, yeah, you know, you go too close to the fire, so you go away. That's good. But then there's the powerlessness of pain, that I know it's coming and there's nothing I can do about it.
Freeze. Is this not how we feel with Hashem?
Wait, before we come to Hashem. The emotions of fear or pain that overwhelm a person make a person feel helpless or powerless. You know how we save ourselves, not in the ideal way, but in a very human way. You know what will save a person from powerlessness? Anger. Because when a person, just the feeling of anger is power. In other words, if I'm angry towards the person, towards the event, towards the setting that in the past gave me fear or pain, or I perceive that to be a threat, but geferla. Even if I cannot save myself from it, because if I could, I should, but when I can't, or I don't know how to. So right now I'm powerless. When you are in anger, you don't feel powerless.
Because you get out of the freeze?
Because I'm angry. The feeling of anger upgrades the person from powerlessness, which is a death emotion. It's like the Malach HaMavis. And now you're angry. Anger makes distance. If I'm angry at you, if I'm angry at it, not physically, anger let's say someone wronged you in the past and they got the better of you. In other words, you were helpless. You were powerless. Why are you, anger is your savior. Now, it's the wrong savior.
I don't get it.
You don't get it. You don't see this? Either you're not an angry person, which could be, some people are not angry people.
I feel satisfied by it. I feel upset by anger. I don't like feeling angry.
Look at it from another angle.
Like passive.
Take your time.
Like active.
The very fact that you are allowing yourself to be angry. Mm-hmm. Anger. If I'm angry at someone, first of all, it's distance. And I have to have distance, because if that person is bringing out fear, pain, then underneath that I'm powerless, I don't want to be powerless. Even if I am powerless.
I feel more powerless when I'm angry. When I'm not angry, I feel more powerful, but I haven't been triggered to get angry.
I think it could be, let me say like that, that when a person is angry, they lose a lot of power. Meaning, if I want to be the one, maybe we can just all move. I think if we all move over there, I think I'm going to respect the people. No, I think it's not right. Why should people suffer? No, it's not too much polygon. It's too. I'm going to move over here. There's enough over here. Watch me move over here, and everyone will sit over here. Yeah. Here we go.
It'll be like on the bus.
This is good. This is great. I'm talking about not to be powerless. That was the content. Not to be trapped. Now, so I want to go to what you're saying. If I would have gotten angry, then I wouldn't have had the seichel to move. In other words, anger, because of the
fire of it?
Because of the fire of it, I would say that most of us, we lose our mind. So I know that we lose a lot, but I'm not talking about what we're losing. I'm not saying it's a good thing. Chazal tell us it's like idol worship. I'm not trying to make something bad into something good. But there's a reason why it's there. We have it takes you out of the... It's an emotional non-freeze. If a person is frozen, they won't be able to feel anger. They'll feel dead. They'll dissociate. Dissociate is death. No. I'm angry. Anger elevates. It's an elevating emotion. It's not a negative emotion. Depends where you're coming from. But 1 second. So Ibazoi, let's all get angry. So I know that anger has a downside. When I'm angry, I lose my rational mind. So I'm going to make bad choices. I'm going to make exaggerated choices. I understand all that. When I am helpless, I already lost my mind. I'm already done. I'm already finished. Might as well get angry. So I want to speak about powerlessness. But appreciate this. If you didn't have this experience, I hope you remember these words, because I think we all get there. That anger takes you away from powerlessness. What's wrong with powerlessness? That's the question. What's the problem with being powerless? Of course, it's a problem if you're going to get hurt. I understand that. But what's... So here is where the Avodah Zarah comes in. And we went through this many, many times. Just a classic Shaar HaBitachon. That in life, we are meant to go back and forth between taking responsibility. Taking responsibility over my choices means that I have power. And this is not an ego power. This is my responsible power. It's my choice. Taking autonomy. My choice, my power, I'm going to connect to freedom. When I feel that I have the power to choose, I'm going to feel free. What's the other side of that? What's the opposite side of taking control? Of surrendering to God's control. Surrendering to God's control. If there is no God on that level, and a person can say God a million times a day, it means zero. If a person, and getting there is an avoida, if a person doesn't really, really, in their heart, have God as the master of my life, to whom I surrender power, that God is in charge, if I don't do that, then powerlessness is death. Death. And most people, they go between, I have the power, or I don't have the power. I have the power at the right time is emes. I have power where I don't have power is sheker. But at least there is a truth to it. Powerlessness is pure sheker. Why is it pure sheker? Because God has the power. God is in control. If I really get that God is in control, I'm not going to feel dead by feeling powerless. Why would I feel powerful? Why should I feel powerful if I'm not the power? It's like if you're driving in a car. So if you're sitting in the driver's seat, then you being able to steer, or you losing your power is of significance. If I'm not even sitting on in the driver's seat, if I'm sitting in the other car, so what that I don't have the power to, so what? I'm not sitting in that seat. It's not for me to drive the car to begin with. Why would I be bothered that I have no power to drive the car? Or why did you get in the car? If you need to drive, don't get it, then only go in the driver's seat. So what is needed? So a couple of steps. Step number one is that don't demonize anger the wrong way. It's very, very dysfunctional, because most of us have anger. Our kids have anger. And countering anger with thou shalt not be angry is ignorant and damaging. Ignorant and damaging. And we don't have to promote that. Tell a person who has an emotion, what you feel is avodah zarah. You are guaranteeing that person is going to have that feeling on steroids. And then they're going to have guilt for having feelings that they had no control over. Just like, you know, you go to those doctors and they knock something on your knee and your knee has this reflex. Anger is a reflex to you feeling powerless. Now at least I'm angry. And whenever you have anger, what you're doing is you're putting a distance. Every time, think about someone who you think wronged you, you're going to feel anger, of course, because it puts a distance. And why would you not put a distance? They hurt you. What the mistake is that they're nothing. They didn't hurt you. Your issue is with God. In other words, the don't look at the anger. Going into the concept that toyu means that inside anything negative, there is a gewaldic light. There is something amazing in anger, which has to be rectified. It's misplaced. powerlessness is where your whole avodah has to be. Don't even worry about the anger. If you feel powerless the wrong way, you already lost that battle. At least be angry. I'm not saying for a person to do something in their anger. I'm speaking a person should see that emotion not with a black lens, but with a different type of lens. And I think all people that struggle with anger will benefit from hearing this. Because one of the biggest reasons why in the religious community there is an anger issue, I don't know other communities. I just know that in the religious community there will always be angry people. Why? Because we are taught the wrong way from when we're little that anger, avodah zarah. That's it. That is to guarantee from the ignorance, because it's misunderstood, that everyone is going to walk around angry. When you tell a person that an emotion that's natural, how do I know it's natural? Look at a four-year-old. Sometimes they'll be angry. And you know why they're angry? Because they feel powerless. When they feel powerless, they get angry. At least not to be powerless. It's a gift. So first of all, that's to understand it properly. But I just want to go into the struggle that we have by powerlessness negative or powerlessness, I surrender to God, which can also be a negative. It can be a negative if I'm not meant to surrender to God. There are many times that we surrender to God when we shouldn't surrender to God. No, it's my duty to do the right thing, not to poor man comes knocking on your door and say, you know what, I'm surrendering to God. Shkoyach. That's using God's name in vain. So when we were speaking last week about when a person, let's say, it feels an empty, and you go into the empty, that's just a good example of, just to continue from last week, that if a person feels anger, go into it. Don't say this is evil. It's not going to help you. By emotions, it's not going to help you. You can't fight it. What is underneath it? You want to place distance. Why are you placing distance? Because someone is perceived to you to be a threat or a circumstance is a dangerous that it's you're powerless. What's wrong with powerless? That's where the whole machlekes is. So this powerless and powerful. The right powerless, the wrong powerless. The right powerful, the wrong powerful. And I want to come back to freedom over here. I want to say a very big rule. That you can never, ever find freedom when you distance yourself from that which you think is taking away your freedom. That's not freedom. It's never going to work. You understand what I'm saying? If you have a certain circumstance that makes you feel trapped, you will never be untrapped by going away from it. Huh? Go ahead. Oh, at least someone is fighting back.
If something is entrapping you and you're getting away from it,
meaning face it, the problem, don't avoid it.
That will not give you the. That's not liberation. That's not freedom. It doesn't work that way. Freedom would be that which is oppressing you will be scrambled. As we used before the mashal, that you're going to see it so differently that in itself won't, that setting will not trap you anymore. That's freedom. That's freedom. That's the avodah zarah of anger. It's I am helpless, I am powerless, so naturally is I want to go away from it. What's the better road? What's the ideal. Now, sometimes you have to. Of course you have to. If you can't, you can't. A person is in a certain life circumstance and they feel they need to get away. Of course, if you need to get away, get away. But that's not your Mashiach. That's not the solution. The solution can only come only when you are in that circumstance, when I'm facing powerlessness and I'm going into powerlessness and I'm trying to understand what about it is so horrible. So many things. It's horrible if there's no God factor. If you put God in there, being powerless is natural. Because it's not powerless and hefken. Powerless chaos. No, powerless because God is in control. I am powerless. I am powerless and God is powerful. It's very liberating. Much more liberating than going away from the boogeyman. who can tomorrow come back and get me.
So the only way to get away is if Hashem takes it away?
The only way to get away is for you to go into it.
Okay, and then you've gone into it.
And then you'll figure out that in it, you'll see it so different that you'll be relieved from it. Nadav and Avihu, they did what we all do. They just went to the extreme, which is they understood the greatness of God much more than we did. They understood the sweetness of Ruchnius. They understood the dysfunction of this world much better than we did. And they had a portal. They had a drug, Lahavdil. They had a way of removing themselves from this world and having an experience with God. So you tell a person, isn't that wonderful? No, that's not wonderful. That's actually a mistake. It's a mistake.
Like you said, it's disassociation.
They were looking for freedom. And their mistake is that freedom can only be found only in the very setting that's oppressing you. With a lot of pain and with a lot of work and with a lot of sweat, that's real freedom. And you agree with me, but you can debate with me, because this is emes, and it has to be that way. In other words, when we were younger, when we began, when we were in Egypt, what was the way out? To get out of Egypt. This is true until today, that sometimes if I'm not ready for it, if I'm still young and I have a setting that's not good, what's my solution? Get out of that setting, 100%. That's because I have to admit, because I'm weak, because I'm young, I'm immature, I'm not up to the task. That's the only way, and I have to save myself. So get angry. Oh yeah, okay, if that's your solution, get angry. That's a way you removed yourself. Walk around, become an angry person. Or when Mashiach will come, don't get wrong, yeah? We believe that we will all be gathered into Israel. But even think about that. Do you know that for so many people right now, living in Israel is something that they are afraid of, which is why they're not there, for whatever reason. Because people there are so wonderful, because people there are difficult to get along with. They're very intrusive for some people. Or there's something about whatever. So I need to leave. When Mashiach will come, you have to go back into it. Now, I know what I'm saying. If you have a home there, good for you. And if you don't have a home there, so what is Mashiach? You're going to go from having a home to becoming homeless? The joke that people made, that God saved us from Paray, and God said, God will save us from Mashiach, because people, when they finally got comfortable, and you tell them that this is coming to an end, you're going into what? So the very few lucky people think they have a nice home in Israel. You're going to find out when you go there. The grace of your home over here, you guys. There's no mamad, and there's no plumbing, and the doors don't work. It's. I think that's part of Mashiach means, yes.
There's still work.
Not the real work, but the work will be in that which oppresses you the most. That's what you're going to go into, and that's why you're going to find freedom. How will you find freedom? Because you're going to scramble it differently. You're going to understand things differently. Take any average person right now. Every average person right now, it doesn't matter how affluent or not affluent, everyone has parts in their lives that are difficult for them. And if they would be honest, every person has parts in their life that is they can't. So what do people do with that? Most people, their path has to be corrected, which is in their fantasy, I'm out. However they go out. I'm going to go out, I'm going to go shopping, I'm going to go eating, I'm going to go on vacation, I'm out. And then I have to come back, but I need to go out. That's all based on this premise of Nadav and Avihu. Of course, they were tzaddikim and we're not, but the concept of out means I'm going into the Holy of Holies. Big yichus. I'm going wherever it is that I think that over there, externally, the greatness of God is. And I know this must happen, is that whatever a person is going away from, God will give them a zak, knock on their head where they go, to have exactly that over there, to ruin it for them, to enlighten them. But they'll deny it happened. or they'll blame it on someone else. They'll say, that's because I didn't get away good enough. That's because you came along. Next time, I'm going to go away without you. Then I'll be saved from my Mitzrayim, and then I'll have freedom. And there's no escape. It's humorous. And the end will be is that the freedom can only be experienced in the problem.
Is anger an escape room?
Aim room is an escape, which is needed if you don't have the ability of anything else. And in that sense, it's a great thing. I would rather someone be angry than for a person to feel helpless. Or for a person to a helplessness, a depression, it is death, it's pure death. This is something that we have throughout Hasidus. You know, you have the snake and the scorpion. The snake, they're both venomous. The snake, anger is a snake. We're not saying it's a good thing, make no mistake. But on Hasidus they say, oh, a snake is a lot better than the scorpion. This is Jewish humor. We're like, what, are you crazy? I don't want the snake. No, a snake. Why? Because the scorpion's venom is cold. Snake, at least it's warm. This represents that when you have a Jew and they have a lot of warmth in the wrong thing, you say that's a lot better than dealing with someone who's dead. Like, especially when you have the teenagers. What would you rather, you know, you want to have a depressed teenager or you want to have a teenager that's going dancing every night? You want a teenager that's going dancing. You want a teenager that's filled with life. The life might not yet be in the right place. So what? They're living. You have what to work with. Anger is alive. Anger is fire. Real anger. At least the person is living. Some people, I think, might also, maybe, when they're depressed, their only way out of depression is anger. I'm sure they can...
Anger's not the answer, is it?
Because I'm not saying it is.
It's a step.
I'm just saying
so
that
if you have to
know what you're looking at. It could be a step. It could be a step down. It could be a step down. It could be a step down. It's definitely not a good thing. I want to end with it. It's not a good thing. But what we are trying to do is we're trying to see inside something that's not good. What good is there? And it could be good. And what will be the solution to do something even better? What would be even better? Let me go back to powerlessness. To be a very, either to take the right power, to make the right choice. Don't get angry, make the right choice. Or to say, no, this is God's world. I'm not meant to have power. And to be okay, as we all should be. I know it's easy to say, oh, I believe in God. Not true. People don't believe in God on this level. When something happens to them that they don't like, and they are struggling with it, it's okay, they don't believe in God. If they would really believe that God is running the world, they wouldn't struggle with it. It would be a non-issue.
Can I make a little parallel question?
Sure.
Is it like a stages of grief? You're numb and then you're angry and then through
that... I think that's a great example. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great example that the five stages of grief have anger. And I think that would be the step up, a natural step up.
Yeah, because when you're angry, you still have a fight in you.
Thank you. That's what
powerless,
I'm saying.
There's nothing.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
There's no fight.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying.
But at least you realize.
Yeah.
Anger, you still are fighting for something.
Leanne, yeah. The coin dropped.
Yeah.
No, but I want to say is that now where do you go? First of all, I want you to know that when people understand this, you don't understand how much this automatically diminishes their anger. Because when you tell a person, one second, do something better than angry. Why do you have to get angry if it's to place distance? In many cases, you can place distance without the anger when you realize that. In many cases, you feel that you're powerless. So, okay, finally, I finally see that I have to work on my emunah. What do you mean I'm powerless? Of course I'm powerless. Why? Who said I'm powerful? What kind of delusional thought is that? It's a joke. We're powerful. We're barely here. The health is in the hand of God. The birth is in the hand of God. The death is in the hand of God. We're like, you see that. It was a very emotional, again, yesterday, the Levaya, Dr. Oren Azalai, second time in a month, we have a 47-year-old woman passed away. And a mother. And you were powerless. One of the rabbis spoke so good there. He said something that you hear, but you hear it there. Gets up there. I don't know her level of religiosity. I don't know. But she has a son. And at the end, she turned to her rabbi, and her son is 5 years old. And he says, I need for you to promise me that my son will put on tefillin when he becomes bar mitzvah. No, at the end of it all, we know all of what a lot of our pursuit becomes trivial, even though we know it's trivial. No one is making it bigger than it is, but we do. Like, it puts things in perspective. One of the things that puts in perspective is that the mamash, a healthy person, gets sick. That type of powerlessness, the right way, is very healthy. It's not, I'm powerless and depressed. Yeah, I'm in the hands of God. Right, this niggun we have in Yom Kippur night, so beautiful, that we are like a potter in the hands of pottery in the hands of the potter. We are a ship in the hands of the sail. We know that. I have to ask myself, sometimes, why do I care if I'm powerless when I am powerless? Like, how arrogant am I to be bothered by the big discovery that I'm powerless? Like, what? Shkoyach, good morning. We are all powerless. And what's wrong with that? If there's no God, it's crazy. But I'm saying, if we take a word to believe that Hashem is really, which He is, running the world, powerless is not powerless. It's like sitting on an airplane. What, you're concerned about, you don't know how to drive the plane. You're not concerned about it. It's not your business to drive the plane. The pilot has to drive the plane. You go sit and have a good time.
The Waymo.
Huh?
Like the Waymo.
It's a relief. I don't know if it's a relief. Yeah, I don't know about that. But they're better than people. They're saying that people put their kids in that because at least they won't hurt, they won't molest them.
Right.
They'll just kill them. So it's better. There'll be less pain. It'll go quicker. I don't know. I'm nervous to get into them. So coming back over here, I think that's the big takeaway, that we have to stop escaping. We're not supposed to conform to something that's bad. But we have so much power. This is our power. We have the power to understand every part of our life so differently, like scramble, that you can take the same thing, the same letters. You don't have to change one single letter. Everything in my life and your life is exactly the way God wants it. But it has to be reorganized. And it has to be reorganized. I'm talking about myself. I have to reorganize me, not you. And when I do that, that's the ultimate freedom. And for that, you don't have to go into the Holy of Holies. You don't have to go into the Holy of Holies. That you stay exactly where you're meant to stay. You don't even have to be in the temple. Be where you're meant to be. Stay. Don't run away. Because you can't. It's futile. And scramble. Re-scramble. Yeah.
And so he gave us that. So I really think about this a lot.
I just want to repeat this. So I was giving an example about anger, that you can't say anger across the board is always horrible, all of it, when God gets angry.
Right.
So I was saying that anger is a reaction of being powerless. So someone asked me, where is God powerless? So I says, look in the Shema. Where does it say that God gets angry? In the Shema. What does it say in the Shema? That if we're not going to keep the mitzvahs, exactly, because mitzvahs is where God gave me the power. God gave me the freedom of choice. That means that God is powerless. If I'm going to put on tefillin today or not, that's my choice. That means God gave up power. So if God gave up power, you know what he does at least? He gets angry. No one wants... He says, you're not going to put on tefillin, I'm angry. It says in the Shema. I'm just showing that anger, whenever there's powerlessness, the simple way, not the deep way, not the ideal way, is to go to anger. So when you see anger, don't look at the anger. Look at the, when you see your kid angry, don't make an issue about them being angry. Look at your kid angry and understand that my kid right now feels powerless, and it's not okay for them to feel powerless. And it's not okay to expect from a child to have emunah on the level where the kid is gonna say, you know what? God is powerful. We are having a hard time with that. For the kid, you gotta make sure that the kid doesn't feel powerless. It's not good to feel powerless. It's the worst thing. Maybe I'm making the kid feel powerless. Maybe someone in school, they walk around angry. Or even when you see an adult angry, you have this perspective, it changes, and it makes a person have a much less anger. It means if I feel angry, I tell myself Not, oh my God, I'm angry. I'm over the avodah zarah. I tell myself, one second, where am I powerless? And many times, there's something I can do. And if there's something I can do, much better than getting angry is do that. It's a gift, not to be that way. The instinct is revealing something if you don't run away from it, if you run into it. Powerlessness is a gift if you don't run away from it. You go into it. You see what's underneath it: lack of emunah, laziness. Maybe I'm depressed. So I can go get drugs in America, and I'm a chaya, and that will be my escape. See, but it's not an escape. That's a good muster. You can't. It doesn't work that way. It's a band-aid. That's all it is. The problem is going to fester, and at some day it's going to get you. Might as well deal with it today.
Yeah. But if we're supposed to mimic Hashem's ways, and Hashem gets angry if the power is taken, we're not supposed to?
So like this. So the mimicking God's ways, you're asking a very practical question. And what I said should not be applied the wrong way. We're not supposed to. The Rambam writes that the anger that we should show, the way God gets angry, is that God is not really, really angry. God shows us as if he's angry. So the Rambam says that if a person does something that they should not do, someone who we have a responsibility for, one of the ways of showing them that what they did is wrong is showing them anger, but not being angry. In other words, the Rambam wants us to get to the place where we do not get angry. But we're not there yet. We do get angry. And when we do get angry, just saying, you feeling, fesh, shame on you, you're an idolater, won't do anything. It's just going to make you more angry. Or angry and guilty. Shkoyach. You know, anger and now you have guilt. Which won't help. All right, stop here. To be continued, Chevron.